Good morning. How are you all doing today? Great, 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 great. Like it was previously mentioned, I am the youth director here at Emmanuel. Been doing it since January, so that's the first time for me. Haven't done anything like that. Also, this is a first time for me delivering a message in front of a congregation. So, a lot of firsts. I may fumble over my words or, you know, what have you, so just give me a little grace, maybe a little bit of jittery, but I'm going to open us up in prayer and we're going to get the ball rolling, all right? So, dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for gathering all these people here to hear your word, Lord. I just pray that you just pierce their hearts and their minds, Lord, and the words that I say from you, Lord, that they just, they're able to take it with them and apply it to their lives. And Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, so Pastor Blaine approached me about this weekend, a month ago or so, and when he asked me to do this, I had a very, you know, deer in headlights look on my face because, like I said, like, I've never done this, not used to anything like this. So I was like, all right, I'll rise to the occasion. Let's give this thing a go, right? So after that talk, God almost immediately gave me two topics to talk about, and those topics are guidance and protection. And I felt that the Lord provided those topics for me to speak on because I felt that's what I needed when I graduated high school. Even though, like, both my parents were Navy and moved around a little bit. So, you know, I had to adapt and overcome to certain life situations and what have you. But, overall, still, the world is big and dangerous depending on where you go. So I felt like I needed that protection piece for sure. And I didn't know what I wanted to do or what I wanted to be when I graduated. So I definitely needed that guidance too. I still don't know actually. But I just hope that these words will encourage the graduates and all of you. It's not just for graduates, but just encourage you. So getting into the message, we all like music, or most of us. And so we have a band, and that band we hear is called a worship team. And like any team, every member plays a vital role to get the job done. And so on our worship team, we have, you know, our bassist, our pianist, keyboardist, guitarist, drummer. And so, for example, a role that I'm going to talk about is the keyboardist or pianist. So one of their jobs is to pretty much carry the undertone for the other instruments or the vocalists. So they accompany the sound that needs to be filled and what have you. And so the bassist, they are usually known as the soul of the group. They provide the rhythm that you tend to sway to when you listen to the song. So that's what your bassist and your keyboardist does, or pianist. But I want to focus on the drummer. The drummer is one of the most important pieces. The drummer has their duty is to keep everyone on stage in time. So they have to make sure they're on time, and usually they have a metronome playing in their ear or something like that to help them to help the rest or everybody else, right? And so they also have to create their rhythmic foundation for everybody to follow. And without that foundation, things can get a little bit muddy. And so I want to conduct an experiment, and it'll be fun. And to help me do this experiment, I have a special guest. He is my father. And so I would like to ask my father, Anthony Thompson, to make his way to the stage. And so while he gets set up and ready, I'm going to give you a little rundown of this experiment. So in the South, where I'm from, most of the time, our gospel or our genre of music usually in a church is gospel. And so we usually clap on what I call a 2-4 clapping beat, which means you clap on the second beat and the fourth beat, right? And so here, when I moved here to Kansas, that was not the case. So I have noticed that everything is usually a 4-4 clapping beat, which means every beat gets a clap. Now, that's not to say it's wrong. It's just different, right? So, and it's true. Depending on the style of music, it is. So like a polka style, which is, you know, really upbeat or anything, something like that, is perfectly acceptable to clap on every beat. So what we're going to do first, we're going to do something a little bit slower, a tempo that most people should know. I'd be surprised if you didn't know this first one. And this one is, we're going to practice the 2-4 clapping beat. All right. So, maestro. Job. You guys are wonderful. Amazing. Now that we have that ingrained in us, we're going to try a little more faster tempo. And this is all up to him. He might speed it up. He might slow it down. So just want to see if you guys are paying attention and have some fun with it. So it's going to be a little bit faster. This is going to be a 4-4 beat. And take it away. One, two, three, four. 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 Thank you. All right. You guys are amazing. So that was 4-4, but of course, if you know math or anything, if you're, you know, musically inclined, of course, you can half that. So the 2-4 is still perfectly acceptable in that as well. But the connection I want to make here is going back to the core of the drummer, that they create the rhythmic foundation for all the other instrumentalists and the vocalists. Oh, God, Jesus, he is the drummer. He has perfect time. And we have to tune our ears to hear that timing. And when we do, our lives can be filled with the Holy Spirit and the blessings of God. And that's an amazing feeling to have and to do. And so, since you all did such a good job, I didn't hear any offbeat clapping or anything. 1 John 3:7 says, "Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does right is righteous, just as he is righteous." And so what I meant by that, didn't hear any offbeat clapping or anything like that, that just means everyone was listening and in tune and was focused. Like we should be on Jesus. But sometimes the devil will throw curveballs at you. And so that can be indicative of the offbeat clapping that I was listening for that nobody did, right? So those fiery darts that the devil just throws at you, or the temptations or what have you, those can throw you off. That can make you tune out to what God has for you. And sometimes you are that thing that gets in the way from you receiving your blessing from God. So you yourself can also tune yourself out and you just get off the beat. I remember in college, there was a lot of times where people tried or wanted my knowledge, and I was a pretty good student. I graduated with a 3.6 GPA, and so people wanted what I had, which was answers to tests. And so sometimes, a lot of times actually, within like the first 2 years early in my college career, people were like, they were wanting that grade. And so they knew, well, Xavier, he's the smart guy, so maybe I can entice him with something, usually money. Hey, you give me these answers, I'll throw, you know, a couple $100 your way. Or if you give me these answers, I can get you, you know, X, Y, Z, because I'm on the basketball team or I'm on the football team and, you know, we get special privileges. And so, like, that was the devil trying to tempt me into doing not what's right. But fortunately, God was guarding my heart, protecting me, and I never accepted any of those gifts or the notoriety or whatever. It wasn't right. I knew that by not accepting those things, I was securing my college career. I wasn't going to get in trouble, obviously, because I didn't cheat, right? Or I wasn't helping cheat. But I wasn't sure if by taking those things, what would happen to me. And so I wanted to be like Christ. And so, like it says, the one who does right is righteous just as he is righteous. So that's what I was trying to embody. I was trying to do the Christ-like thing. And it also says in Isaiah 58 that the Lord will always guide you, and he will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden. And so that is reassuring to me, and it should be reassuring to the graduates and everybody else here, that, you know, no matter what comes your way, God is there. We just sang that. God is there. He will guide you. He will lead you. No matter the situation, no matter the test, you'll come out stronger, and then you'll be better equipped for whatever else comes down the road, because you trusted in God. Like Proverbs 3:5 says, it's not going to be up there, but says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. So just trust the Lord in everything you do, and man, life can be sweet. But I also want to talk about a time where I myself was off the beat, so to speak. I wasn't clapping in tune with God's rhythm. So for the first 2 years of my college career, I didn't care about God at all. I didn't go to church. I didn't pray. I didn't read the Bible. I didn't do any of the stuff I'm doing now. I was enjoying getting out of my parents' house. I was enjoying not having to get up early to go to church every Sunday, every Wednesday, like just all the stuff that I was doing when I was a kid. But my parents were setting a foundation for me to follow. But I straight away, I wanted to do my own thing. And so God put certain people in my life, and those two people helped bring me back, help me tune myself to the beat, the rhythm that God has for my life. And one of those persons is an instructor I came across in one of my classes while I was in college. Don't remember what year, don't remember what he taught, but one day he just said, hey, Xavier, I need to speak with you after class. I was like, okay, cool. I went to his office, and he did a little shakedown on me, and he was like, "Hey, you're a Christian, aren't you?" And I said, "Yes, sir." How did you know? And his reply was, I didn't, but God told me, because I'm a Christian myself, but God told me I needed to talk to you. And I was like, okay, well, I guess I'm in trouble then. So, and so he asked me another question, which was, are you in church? And once again, I was truthful, and I said, no, sir, I'm not. And then he proceeded to, you know, get on my case a little bit. He was like, you know, you claim you're a Christian, but you're not doing the Christian things. You're not out here going to church. You're not fellowshipping with your people. You're just not doing the things that you're supposed to be doing as a Christian. And I was like, yes, you're right. And so I liken it to my parents trying, you know, reprimanding me. But this was a good one because he was the first one that caught my attention. And so after that conversation, I tightened up. It was a good kick in the butt for me. So after that, maybe a week later, I ended up finding a church, and I stayed in that church until I graduated college. And so I'll always remember that guy, or at least the lesson, since I don't remember his name. But that was God directing me as the drummer, like, hey, I'm doing this here, and I need you to get back on time, on my time. I need you to start singing, since, you know, I'm singing up here. I need you to, you know, get back on it. And so I did. And that was God guiding me back to where I needed to be. Another person who he put in my path, his name is Greg. And I believe God put him in my life to also guide me, but also protect me. Greg, he was an older fellow. He was about 46, between 46 and 50 years old at this time. And he, once again, still, the word was out. Xavier's the guy to go to if you need help with, you know, industrial technology. And so he came to me and was like, hey, if you help me, I'm going to help you. We'll study together and whatnot, and I will have you come to my house. I will feed you. I will clothe you. I will do whatever you need me to do. And so I was like, sweet. I don't have to go back 2 hours every time I need my clothes washed. I had to pay to wash my clothes, which was horrible. And the cafeteria food wasn't that great either, so it was nice to have a home-cooked meal. And so I was like, all right, cool. So we did it. Like, I helped him pass all his tests. He ended up graduating after I left in 2013. And I got good food. I got, you know, a place to wash my clothes for free. I got a place to sleep without a bunch of noise from the dorms. I had a lot from this one person. And as we were fellowshipping, he started opening up to me, and he let me into his life and how in his early stages of his life he was a drug addict and all these things, and he found Christ, and we just hit it off from there. And so I liken that to God just once again guiding me and getting me back on the right beat I should be moving to or singing to or clapping to. And so he also had Greg there to protect me, protect my heart and my mind when I wasn't attending church. And it was an amazing feeling. Like, I felt God the entire time, especially looking back now. It was like, man, God, I was really blessed and highly favored, right? It was amazing. And when you graduates go out into the world, I encourage you to try to find people that you can have an accountability partner. Who's going to hold you accountable? Hey, have you been in the Word today? Or what do you need prayer for or about with? These will help you. These will benefit you so much if you can find these people. They're not always like smack dab in your face, but the Lord will help you. He will guide you if you trust him. In closing, there is a song/prayer that I want to present to you. And it is called Jesus Be a Fence Around Me. And it's performed by a guy named Fred Hammond. And so it's a pretty simple song. And much like the beginning portion, I will ask you to perform with me. But I just want to introduce it to you right now. And like I said, it's simple. It says, Jesus, be a fence all around me every day. Jesus, I want you to protect me as I travel along the way. I know you can. I know you will fight my battles if I just keep still. Lord, be a fence all around me every day. So a simple prayer that anybody, but especially the graduates as you transition into, you know, your new whatever you're going to be going into, something simple that you can repeat as you walk into your first day of classes or walk onto the campus for the first time. I remember that. I was scared because I didn't know where anything was. But you sing this, say this, or find your favorite Bible verse about, you know, needing protection. God will give it to you. And so I'm going to introduce the song by singing it first, and then I'm going to have you guys help me. And so, all right, everybody's here. Maestro, count off. Jesus, be a fence all around me every day. Jesus, I want you to protect me as I travel along the way. I know you will, I know you can fight my battles if I just keep still. Lord, be a fence all around me every day. Pause. All right, so now I want you all to practice. Well, not practice. Let's put into play everything we've learned today. Clapping and everything else. So as I sing the song, though, I want you all to sing the parts that is in parentheses, the Yes, Lord part. I think that part is really important because you are affirming, you're confirming that the Lord can and will do these things for you. And I think everybody needs that. So when I get to those parts, you say the Yes, Lord part. I'm going to point so you guys know when to come in. All right? So we're going to go. Hey, let's clap along together. Have some fun with it. All right? All right, here we go. Jesus, be a fence all around me every day. Jesus, I want you to protect me as I travel along the way. I know you can, I know you will fight my battle if I just keep still. Lord, be a fence all around me every day. All right, thank you. You all did such a great job. That's my message, and I just want you all, the graduates, to know that yes, the world can be a scary place, but with the Lord, all things are possible, and you don't need to fear for anything. Thank you, and have a great day.